Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. Before we get started today, I do want to mention two revivals that are going on. I'm sad that at my home church, I'm not going to be able to be there because I'm going to be in revival next week. That's going to be starting on October the 25th. And I know that our home church is praying for Brother Billy Rare to come, and we're looking forward to the week and every way and praying for him. And even with us not being there, we're certainly going to keep him in our prayers. But our home church at Clear Branch Baptist Church in Purvis, Mississippi, the church is located at 564 Purvis to Brooklyn Road. Of course, that's Purvis, Mississippi, 39475. They're going to be having 7 o'clock nightly services Monday through Friday. That week, that'll be a week from today, a week from tomorrow, starting on the 26th of October. And I know they're really looking forward to it. And again, we're praying for our home church, praying for our pastor, Brother Brad O'Neill, Brother Billy Rare, the evangelist, and we're certainly praying that God blesses them with a wonderful week. We're going to be with, Salem Baptist Church, also known as Little Salem Baptist Church, located in the Leaf community. That's in between McLean and Bendale off of Highway 57. The address for the church is 5120 Salem Road, McLean, Mississippi, 39456. If you'd like to come visit, we're supposed to be there also the week of the 26th through the 30th at 7 o'clock nightly with Brother Morgan Farmer. And we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to the services. We're looking forward to being with them. We love and appreciate Brother Morgan, and we're just looking forward to a good week in the Lord. And certainly pray for these revivals. Again, if you have the opportunity, I know they'd be glad for you to come and be with them. And again, we'll try to announce these revivals, Lord willing, again next week also. And I know there's other revivals going on around, and we certainly want to pray for our sister churches as the Lord would lead, guide, and direct them. We certainly pray that we could hear of lost souls being saved and God's people being revived. Before we get to the message today, we do want to stop and look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct by your Holy Spirit. Father, we need you in every way. Father, we need your Holy Spirit to lead us. Father, to guide our tongue into what to say and what to do, that Father, we can accomplish your will and not our will. Father, we pray that you would forgive us. We pray that there'd be nothing in our life that'd be a stumbling block or hindrance to this message. Help us to stand. Help the lost to see their need of your Son Jesus for an everlasting salvation. And help those of us that are saved to see how much we need to live for you in this present world. Father, we ask for your blessings, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. As we come today, we're going to turn to the book of John, chapter 4. We've been studying about characteristics of Christ and how we're to put on those characteristics. And this doesn't just cover one subject. It covers several subjects, and we're going to try to dive into them as we go along. I guess do a Bible study on this passage in John chapter 4 about the record of Jesus talking with the Samaritan woman and all that that entails and what it should teach us and what should be within us. There's just so much to learn, and I don't know a better way to learn except to dive into the Scripture and just see what the Word of God says. In verse 1 of John chapter 4, it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria." Now there's, in other words, he's saying, this wasn't necessary. He could have gone a different route, gone a different way, but he must needs go through Samaria. I wish I could illustrate this better or get it across better, but people are important to God. And sometimes people say, well, I'm not because I'm sinful and I've done this and I've done that. You don't know how valuable you are to God. You're so valuable that God gave His only begotten Son that you could be saved through Him. He paid that price for me. He paid that price for you. He didn't pay it more for me and less for you. He paid it equally for both of us. God's not a respecter of persons. And I pray that you understand that. That's a characteristic of Christ, that He is not a respecter of persons. And even here, we're going to find a woman that is wickedly in sin. And yet God desires for her repentance. God desires for her to be reconciled to God through Himself, through Christ. And I wish I could drive this point home, especially to us as God's people, that we need to have a burden for lost people. And I think sometimes we say, well, that person won't hear the gospel, so we don't share it with them. It is not our job to say who's going to hear the gospel and who's not going to hear the gospel. That is not our job. I'm never to look at somebody and make my own decision of whether I'm going to share the gospel with them or not. I'm to share the gospel with whosoever God leads me to share the gospel with. And I'm not to ask any questions about it. I'm just to go by faith and share the gospel. And a lot of God's people don't have that burden. They don't have that zeal. A lot of people haven't even shared Christ with their own family. Let me ask you this question while we're on that subject, because this gets to the character of Christ. Jesus, whatever He learned of the Father, He shared. We've learned a lot through Christ, those of us that are saved. How much of that have we shared? Just our salvation. If you're a parent, let me ask this question. Do your children know your experience of salvation? Can you tell them about the time that God burdened your heart and that you, by faith, trusted in Christ alone for salvation? Can you tell them that experience? Do you have that experience? Or did you just repeat a prayer? You just joined a church? You just got baptized? Do you have an experience of salvation? Of where you saw yourself as a sinner on the road to hell and you turned by faith and trusted in Christ as your only hope for salvation. Do you have that to share? And if you do, have you shared it? If you haven't, you're failing as a parent. And I'm not saying that to be smart or to be critical. I'm saying that to get your attention. And I hope that you know that. I hope that you see the heart of what we're trying to say. If we don't even love our own children enough to tell them about what God has done for us through Christ, our love for God, one, is lacking greatly. And number two, our love for our children is lacking greatly. But if you told your children, have you told your parents, have you told your brother, have you told your sister, have you told your cousins, have you told your neighbor, have you told your co-workers? I'll tell you what Jesus learned from the Father, He wanted to share with this world. And what we've learned from Christ, we should have a great desire to share with this world. And Jesus had a desire, I must needs go through Samaria. He had a desire to share it with somebody. And to share it with somebody that really, even the other 12 that was with Him, didn't understand why He shared it with her. We'll get more into that. He said, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And so it's about the middle of the day. And Jesus is wearied. Because He has flesh like we do. His legs got tired. He sits down. And He's sitting on the well. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now there's a lot with verse 6 and 7 that I want to cover real quick. First of all, the women usually went together to the well to get water, and they did that usually early in the morning. This woman's not with the other women. She's coming at a time when she expects nobody to be there. You know why? Because the rest of the people looked down upon her. And they had reason to for the life that she was living. But I'll say this, she was coming there by herself. And I'll show you another point that Jesus is making with this. He cares about the one as much as he cares about the multitude. Let me tell you, that's valuable. I try to know where I preach at least by their testimony, who's lost and who's saved, who's never made a profession of faith, and sometimes with the younger ones, you don't know if God's dealt with them yet or not. There's sometimes you got questions about that, if this person, if God's dealing with them yet. But until they make it known, you don't know. And I don't try to force Christ on people. I let the Lord deal with them. And I believe the Holy Spirit can do a better job of dealing with people than I can. And when God lets me know that He's dealing with them, then I try to step in and do what God would have me to do. But I'm not going to force them to be saved. I'm going to present the gospel to them. But the point I'm trying to make there is I try to know the people in the church, and I try to care about the lost as much as I do my own children. I know that's kind of hard to do because I see my children. I have a close relationship with my children, and I spend a lot of time with my children. So, there's a lot of those things that might not just be totally lined up, but that's the way that I try to do it. There's people that I pastored, 18 years ago that I still pray for to this day. I haven't heard of them trusting in Christ yet, and I'm still burdened about them, and I'm still concerned about them. And I still call their name out in private to the Lord. And there's people that I pastor now that have never made a profession of faith, have never, got things right with God, and I'm burdened about them. I shed tears over them. I'm concerned about them. I pray for them. I'm really concerned about their condition and where they're going. And I try to love them and be burdened about them the same as I would my own children. And I think it's important not only that we preach to groups. I know on the radio I don't know all that are listening. I never have that opportunity. And then we put this on the internet, and sometimes there might be 1,000 or thousands of different people that listen to us each month through the internet, and I don't know who they are, but I know that God does. And I know that He's concerned about them individually. I know that He deals with them individually. And I remember how God dealt with me individually within my heart when I was lost. I'm thankful that I serve a God that's concerned about the individual as much as He is the group. And you find that all throughout Scripture. And it's another amazing characteristic of God. I think you also find that in Acts chapter 8. When He burdened Philip to leave a group of people being saved, and He said, I want you to go out here in the middle of a desert. And He led him to an Ethiopian eunuch. And He shared the gospel with that one person. I believe it shows that when people have a burden for God, God has a way to get the Word of God to them. I've often made the expression that I believe if somebody got shipwrecked or broke down on a deserted island all by themselves somewhere, I believe if they really wanted to know God, if they were hungry and thirsting after knowing God, God's going to get somebody there, even if He has to wreck another boat to get him there. I believe God has His way of getting His Word to the people that need to hear it. And I know that God is concerned about the one individual as much as He is a group. That's one of the reasons that we give out our phone number every week, because we want you to know we're concerned about you. And if God can use us to be a help or a blessing, we want to make ourselves available, because if God's used us, whether through the radio, the internet, or in a service, in person, we want to take the time that if he's opened a door and he's burdened somebody's heart to help them see they need Christ, then we're going to take the time to pray with you. We're going to take the time to open the Word of God with you. And we're going to gladly spend and be spent for the gospel's sake. Because the individual is important. But you know, most of us would have looked at this woman and we wouldn't have thought she was worth much. But Jesus had a different view of it. And so he asked her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Notice that statement. And we don't deal with this, at least in America, to a great extent in our day and time. But, I mean, there were differences. There were separations. You know, there was segregation going on. And the Jews just didn't have anything to do with these Samaritans. And she's saying, "How are you going to ask me to drink? You don't even talk to us. Jews aren't going to have anything to do with us." And of course, there's a great lesson being taught in that, that Jesus came to save the world. But I'll tell you what's also in this. He came to save sinners. Paul would later say, "Of whom I am chief." He didn't say, "I was chief." He said, "I am chief." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" And of course, she's looking at things naturally, and she's going, "You don't have a bucket. You don't have a rope to dip that bucket down in the water and to lift it up. You've got nothing to draw with. What's this water you're talking about? You've got nothing to offer." Oh, but he did. He said, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And of course, when you get saved, your soul will never thirst again. You don't lose that salvation and have to come back and get it again. Once saved, always saved. The soul is sealed. Your life's works might be a different story, but your soul is sealed. And he's saying, "You're not going to need it again." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And she says, "Well, that sounds good. I'd like that water." Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." Now, Jesus already knows her heart. And it's important for a sinner to see their condition before they can turn to Christ. Jesus never justified this woman's sin. What he wants her to know, though, is that he's willing to forgive it. I want to tell you right now, I don't know what you've done in your life. I don't. And to be honest, I don't have to know. It's not my business. But you need to know it. You need to know that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to know that a righteous and holy God does not accept sin. That's the reason we need Christ. He became righteousness for us, that His righteousness could be imputed to us for righteousness. And He's trying to get her to see, "You're a sinner." But He's also going to get her to see, "But I've got forgiveness. you, even you, with all your sins, can be reconciled to God. And I tell you what, again, as God's people, we need to remember that. Some people say, well, I'm not going to share Christ with that person. That person's a whoremonger. That person's an adulterer. That person's a murderer. That person's a thief. That person's a gossiper. You can name every sin in the book. God can save people. And they need to hear the message that they need to repent and believe the gospel. They need to see who they are. And they need to turn to God for their only hope of salvation. And when a person does that, they have to acknowledge who they are. And when you acknowledge who you are, there's a lot of things in your life. And I don't care if you were brought up in church like I was. I don't care if you may have a lot of things that you can say, well, I haven't done that or I haven't done that. But there's a whole lot you have done. And there's a whole lot that when you see God, you automatically, after you're saved, you see yourself as a sinner. You turn by faith and trust in Christ. And then you go, wait a minute. Look what God's done for me, and I'm doing things that dishonors Him. And you start looking at your life, and you start saying, I got to get this away. I got to move this. I got to get this out. Trust me, there's things ever since I've been saved, and still to this day, that God is showing me that needs to go. You need to remove that. And once one thing's done, I'm like, ooh, I got that out of the way. All right, God, I serve you better. And then God, okay, now that we've dealt with that, okay, look at this. And you're continually growing in the Lord. And that's what we should do after salvation, is continually grow in the Lord, that we can be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now, I'll be honest, I doubt that somebody has repented and trusted in Christ if they're still walking in the slums of sin and enjoying it and don't have the Holy Spirit dealing with them on their sin after they're saved. People that can just walk in sin and say, oh, this doesn't bother me at all. I got every right to question you because your works do not bear fruit of what you say has happened in your heart. I know a person after salvation can do like Lot and harden their heart against God. But I'll tell you this, you see in the Scripture that the Word of God was pricking Lot's heart even while he was in Sodom, wasn't it? He saw all that sin and it pricked him. It burdened him. And I believe he lost a lot of rewards because he didn't respond to that right. But the Bible says he had a righteous soul. Can't argue with the Bible on that. But I tell you what, we as God's people, when we're dealing with lost people, we need to understand that no matter what they've done, no matter what road they've gone down, no matter how wicked of a life that they've lived, that God is still offering them repent and believe the gospel. And so it is our duty to carry the gospel to a lost world. And we need to remember that. So he says, call thy husband. The woman answered, and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. And all of a sudden, whoo, her sin became known to her, didn't it? Not that she didn't know it. Not that she didn't know. Why was she showing up at the well at the time of the other women? She knew she was living in sin. She knew all the gossip about her. She knew she wasn't living right and in a good way. She knew that. But Jesus is letting her know, I know who you are. I know what you've done. And I know what you're doing now. But yet, I'm still offering you an opportunity to be saved. I'm still willing to forgive all that. Now, I remind you that as Jesus taught other people, go forth and sin no more, the same would apply here. God's not wanting to save her and for her to continue in sin God wants to save her and bring her out of sin. You might want to remember Romans chapter 6 with all that. How that we they're dead to sin, how should we live any longer therein? We should walk in newness of life after salvation. But she doesn't need to turn over a new leaf to be saved. She just needs to see who she is. And she needs to turn by faith in the one that can save her, and the one that's offering her forgiveness. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And she tries to take salvation and turn it into all these religious discussions. I have a lot of people do that with me sometimes. Well, this person over here says baptize, and this person over here says I got to maintain good works, and this over here says I got to repeat a prayer, and this one over here, you know, and you get all those, and I'm going, forget all that. Let's get to the Bible. Let's get to what the Word of God says. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. And he's basically saying, you're not worshiping right. You are in false religion. He said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And by the Old Testament standards, there was a lot that the Jews had right, but of course there were things they had wrong too. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And that truth is truth within us, truth from the Word of God, truth about sin, truth about our condition, and worshiping God true according to the Word. Not just saying, well, I feel like this works for me, and whatever works for you, you do that. No, there's a way to worship that's taught in the Scripture. There's a way that God wants us to live. There is a true Bible church. There is. There is a true set of doctrines. And Jesus isn't backing down from that. There's truth. And also in the Spirit. And the only way we can worship God in spirit is, number one, we got to be saved, because we're dead in sins before we're saved. Something that's dead can't worship a living God. We got to be made alive, quickened, as the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit when we believe upon Christ. But then also we want to serve Him in the Spirit according to the Word. That we're in line with the Holy Spirit in what we do. And all that's important. And all that's also a part of the characteristic of God. He wants to follow Scripture. He wants to follow what God has given him. He doesn't want to make something out of thin air. He's teaching people what the Father wants them to do. But the first thing, that's more important than the religion or the true church or all these other things, is that a person must see themselves as a sinner. And they must turn to that living water, which is Christ Jesus, and believe in Him for their eternal salvation before it's too late. There's a lot that we've covered today, and there's still some that we want to cover, and we're going to try to continue that next week. I pray it could be a blessing. And again, if you have anything upon your heart, we always want you to feel free. We mean that from the bottom of our heart. Our number is 601-606-4681. You feel free to call us if God's burdening you, dealing with you. You got a prayer request, just some way that God could use us to be a help or a blessing. We want to do that. If you feel more comfortable writing things down, I know sometimes people don't feel comfortable on the phone, write us a letter. Our address is Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email us. Our email address, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. Again, we pray this could be a blessing. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory. Help us as Your people to learn from it, and for those that are lost to see their need of Christ before it's too late. For Father, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. for he is worthy. Amen.